Again, we'd like to turn to the book of Job. Book of Job. Read chapter 1, verses 20 through 22. And in chapter 2, we want to read verses 8 through verse 10. In Job chapter 1, verse 20, then Job arose, rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell down upon the ground, and worshipped. In his worship, this is what he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And then there's a statement made concerning this. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charge God foolishly. Then down in Job chapter 2, begin reading with verse 8. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal. And he sat down among the ashes, and said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. And then he asked her a question. What shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? And then there's a statement made concerning this. In all this, did not Job sin with his lips? In these two passages, we want to take the thought of the message from those words, in all this, and that'll be our subject, in all this. The context of the in all this, in chapter 1, we have the tragic and unexpected death of Job's children, 7 sons, 3 daughters. His servants, there's the loss of his possessions, there's the loss of his livelihood, and this all occurred in one day. We read in verse 13, and there was a day, and there was a day. And our text there in Job 1, verses 20 and 21, records the response of Job to what happened on that particular day. And then there's this declaration, in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. I believe the in all this refers back to his reaction to the news of the 4 messengers. We read of their message in verse 14, verses 16 through 18. I believe also the in all this refers to his expression of grief. When Job heard that his children had been killed, and when Job heard of his great loss, and all of that, he did not sin. And then when Job expressed his grief, in all of that, he did not sin. So I believe the in all this has reference to what his reaction to what happened that day and the expression of his grief. In chapter 2, the all this is in the context of the fact you had a once healthy and strong individual in Job. But now he is smitten with boils. He is suffering physically. He's still suffering emotionally from his loss. And you have his wife's discouraging words to him. And then we read in all this, did not Job sin with his lips? So it refers, the in all this has reference to the context of those verses. We want to consider and we want to make application of these words. All this. First of all, all this is a picture of all of our lives. The phrase, all this, is equivalent to another phrase that we find throughout the Word of God. In fact, we find it 279 times, these things. Those two phrases would be equivalent. All this, these things. And if we look at our lives as a whole, the all this and the these things are innumerable. You can't even begin to count them. Not only are they innumerable, they're variable. They're constantly changing. There's a great variety. This is true whether you look at your life in the segment of a decade, or if you look at your life in the segment of a year, or a month, or a week, or a day, or an hour. Whatever segment you break your life into, there's an all this. There's a these things. In other words, something is always going on. Something's always happening. Well over 400 times in King James Bible, we have the phrase, and it came to pass. And it came to pass. Which is equivalent to another word. Happened. Happened. Meaning, it took place, or it occurred. I mean, how many things have, whatever segment you look at your life in, how many things have taken place? More than we know. How many things have occurred? In Luke 24 and verse 14, reading of the two disciples on the Emmaus Road, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. So there you have all these things which had happened. So there's always things happening. There's always, and it came to pass. And our life, of course, is a journey through this earth. And our journey consists of a variety of places. Life will take us to a variety of places. We will live our life under a variety of conditions. We will live our lives influenced or around a variety of people. And again, it's all filled with, it came to pass. If it doesn't come to pass in your life, it will come to pass in someone that you are associated with. So that's life. Or these things happened. That's true all through our lives. In other words, our lives, our journey on this earth is filled with matters, with occurrences, activities, events, incidents, circumstances. And we are instructed in Proverbs 27 and verse 1 not to boast ourselves of tomorrow. In other words, do not be confident that you will have tomorrow. There is absolutely nothing in your present circumstances that assures you of tomorrow. Nothing. That's true of all of us. Whether we're healthy or ill, there's nothing in our life right now that assures us that we will be here 1 minute from now, let alone tomorrow. So, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. In other words, the happenings of life are mysterious to you and I. We don't know what's going to happen. We can make plans, and we think we know what might happen tomorrow, but life is mysterious. You and I have no idea what's going to happen next. Life is made up of families. You don't know what's going to happen in your family next. It's made up of friends. You don't know what's going to happen in the lives of your friends. It's made up of enemies. Life is made up of relationships. Life is made up of acquaintances, careers, education, and on and on we can go. But things happen in each of those arenas. There are things always happening in each of those. And we don't know what's going to happen next. We have no idea. The book of Ecclesiastes is a book about living life. And that is seen from two very common phrases throughout Ecclesiastes. And under the sun is one of them, and the other is upon the earth. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, if we turn over there, very familiar passage of Scripture, very instructional passage of Scripture. But in the first 8 verses, we're not going to read them to save time, but in verses 1 through 8, life, or verses 2 through 8 really, life is pictured in seasons and time. In verses 2 through 8, Solomon lists 14 sets of opposites. For example, verse 2, a time to be born, a time to die. Those are opposites. A time to plant, a time to pluck. And he just goes on down through verse 8. 14 sets of opposites. 14 sets of contrasts. And if you look at those verses, it's really 14 sets of extremes. There's a time to be born, a time to die. Those are two extremes. There's a lot of things in between those two, being born and dying. But he uses these 14 sets of contrast as a means of illustrating that there is a wide spectrum of actions and activities and events and happenings and occurrences throughout our lives. And though there are 14 sets of opposites, 14 sets of extremes, these things work together. They're not to be viewed separate. They work together. And it is God who works them together. These 14 sets of opposites or extremes make up that phrase, all this, and these things of life. But notice there in Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 1, to everything, it's a universal word, to everything. That's what makes up the all this and the these things. And then that to everything is followed by there is a season, a particular season, and a time, a particular time. So the words a season, a time, are in regard to these 14 sets of opposites, and it speaks of that which is ordained. It speaks of that which is set. Our birth was ordained. Our death is ordained. And as you read through here, you see the same thing. A season is ordained of God. A time is ordained of God. So from these verses, we learn from Ecclesiastes here, we learn several things about life. We learn that life is a repetitive process. There is a season, there is a time. That's repetitive. In other words, life is not random. Even though at times it may appear random, it never is. There is a season. There is a time. We also see through these by these 14 sets of contrasts that life is full of change. Life is full of contrast. As you read through the 14 sets of contrast, you cannot help but notice that there is change throughout. There are alterations throughout those verses. There are modifications. I mean, there's quite a difference between birth and death. There's quite a difference between planting and plucking. There's quite a difference between killing and healing. And he just goes on and on. There's a difference between demolishing and building. There's a difference between weeping and laughing, between mourning and dancing, between throwing away or gathering, between embracing or withdrawing, between gaining or losing, keeping, tossing away. And he mentions all of these things. But there's a sharp contrast in all of these things. But it's all a season. And it all has a time. And our lives are made up of many seasons. We've already gone through in our lives many seasons. We've gone through many times. And whatever season it is in your life, it can change. And it probably will change. If you live long enough, it will change. And change sometimes, according to Ecclesiastes 3 here, change can be drastic and sudden. Human nature does not deal with change very well. Some people don't have as hard a time with it as others, but our nature does not deal with change very well. But life is made up of change. Just as the natural seasons of the earth differ. And think about the seasons. Each season brings what? It brings change. There's a change in the weather. Things even look different. I mean, things look different right now than they will a month and a half from now and 3 months from now. So weather changes, appearance of things change. Each season brings its own danger. Brings its own danger. I have no danger today of getting frostbite. I have no danger of that. But come January, that changes. I won't have any danger of getting a heat stroke in January. Not here, anyway. There's a difference in change in obstacles with every season. There's also perhaps a change of opportunities, a change of responsibilities. Now we have a responsibility to keep our grass mowed. That won't be my responsibility in January. It'll be my responsibility to keep my driveway cleared. So our seasons bring a change in some responsibilities. There's a difference in change in feelings and emotions. There's no doubt about that. I mean, a nice day can put you in a pretty good mood. You spend, I'll exaggerate, 6 months of winter, and it gets pretty gloomy after a while. So seasons bring a change in the way we feel, the way we look at ourselves, bring a change in emotions. But my point is, so it is with all the seasons of life. Things look different. Things are different. Different dangers, different emotions. Change occurs in our families. It's not just our own life, but in our families. Change can occur in our health. Change can occur in our careers, our finances, our relationships, our circumstances, and even in our hearts and our minds. So everything's in a constant flux of change. I mean, in your mind, you may have right now what you consider to be ideal conditions, and we all have different ideas of what the ideal conditions are. But it's not sunny and 70 degrees every day. Ideal conditions change. So, even if what you consider to be ideal conditions, if that's so in your life right now, it's going to change. It's going to change. Things do not remain constant. Change is inevitable. In our text in Job 1, we read in verse 13, and there was a day. And oh, what a disparity between that day and all the other days of Job's life. So life is made up of these things. All this. But what we want to notice is the impact. As life changes, as the seasons change, it has a personal impact upon us. Notice in Job 1 again, if we go back there, Job chapter 1. And verse 22, in all this, Job. So it affected him directly. In all this, Job. It doesn't say in all this, they. In all this, Mr. and Mrs. Job, as someone says. It says, in all this, Job. Had a personal impact upon him. Chapter 2, verse 10, in all this did not Job. So there it is again. In all this, Job. In other words, things happened that had a direct impact upon Job. Job was living the all this. The things that had happened in the life of Job could not be viewed apart from him. In all this, Job. And things happen in our lives that cannot be viewed apart from us. They have an impact. They affect us. There were things that happened that touched his life. The things that happened impacted his life. The things that happened had shaped Job's life. You cannot journey through this life untouched and unaffected. It's not possible. It's not possible. Things are going to happen. Good things, bad things, all kinds of things happen. And we do not get through these things untouched and unaffected. In all this, Job, no matter what the in all this is, there are some things that we must always be sure of. Job, I believe, realized that though his life had changed, his life had changed drastically, and really the changes that occurred in his life would never be the same again. There were some constants. That's always true. That's true of you and I. Something may happen tonight. Something may happen before this service is over in someone's life here that is going to change the rest of your life, whether to the good or the bad. But if that is so, there are always constants. He knew that no matter what the all this included, God is. God is who He is. Nothing changes that. No matter what happens in my life, no matter what happens in your life, no matter what season I'm in, no matter what season you're in, God is who He is. Nothing can change that. The all this or the these things do not impact the person of God, do not change, do not alter. the person of God. He remains settled. No matter what the change, he remains settled. He remains immovable. He remains the Almighty, the all-knowing, the all-sufficient God. He remains the Creator and the Controller and the Ruler and the Sustainer. And he remains the Sovereign One, the Immutable One, the Eternal One, the True One, the Faithful One. That's always so. And no matter what changes and no matter what I may feel, again, Job, as we saw this morning, felt that God was a million miles away. That God wasn't there. That he was all alone. But the truth remains, no matter how I feel, he's the one that never leaves me. He's the one that never forsakes me. He's the one that never misleads me. He's the one that never forgets me. He's the one that's strong when I am weak. And he's the one who can comfort me and shield me and provide for me and feed me and carry me. That never changes. No matter how much we might change emotionally or our mood or whatever or our circumstances, these are constants. So in every season, there are constants. That's true. Whether we're in spring, summer, fall, or winter, there are some constants. Sun's still going to rise in the east, no matter what season it is. Going to set in the west, no matter what season. There are constants. And so it is in our life. Job realized that whatever all this entails, he had a mighty, loving, affectionate, wise and unfailing friend in God. And he knew what the psalmist knew in Psalm 31 and 15, "My times are in thy hand." That's true no matter what season of life I'm in. That's true no matter what time it is in my life. My times are in thy hand. So knowing these truths had an effect upon Job. It had an effect upon how he reacted to the changes of his life. Like Job and all this, no matter what it entails, how long it lasts, and no matter what comes next, I'm still blessed of God, no matter what. It seems to me that Job, at least at this point in the book, realized that. No matter what's happened, I am blessed of God. And no matter what happens in my life, no matter what happens in your life, if you're saved, you'll still be saved. Still a child of God. Sins will still be under the blood of Jesus Christ. Name will still be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'll still be eternally secure in Jesus Christ. Still loved by God. Still cared for by God. Still clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Nothing can change those things. No matter what all this entails, no matter how long all this lasts, no matter what comes after all this, these things are true. And there is grace and there is help sufficient. And there is victory through Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is coming again. And I have a home in heaven. Nothing changes those things. In all this, Job. And again, no matter what the in all this is, no matter what it entails, no matter how long it lasts, no matter what comes next, we have responsibilities as a child of God. In all this, whatever it is, whatever the in all this is in each one of our lives, we're called by God for the all this. We're called by God for the all this. In all this, we have been called to be what? His servants. No matter what the all this is, you and I are called to be the servants of God. We are called to be in submission to God. We are called to be committed to God, dedicated to God. No matter what the end of all this is, we are called to be the servants of the Lord. And God is our source. And God is our authority. No matter what the end of all this is, that is so. God is to be our priority. No matter what the season of our life is, no matter what the time of our life is, God is to be our priority. And by that I simply mean that life is never to be mainly about the all this. Never. Whatever the all this is, however great it might be, however significant it might be, it's never to be about the all this. It's to be about God. We've got to remember that. As we go through different seasons of our life and as we go through different times of our life, this will help us if we can just remember the main thing is God. The main thing is not the season that I'm going through. The main thing is not the circumstance. The main thing is God. But we get sidetracked and we think all of a sudden the circumstance is the main thing or the season, and that'll get you in a lot of trouble and cause you a lot of problems. So, the all this, however long it lasts, whatever it might be, God's glory is to be our aim, is to be our object. Whatever season comes in our life, it ought to be our aim, it ought to be our intent. It may not be the season that I would have ever chosen. It may not be the season that you would have ever chosen or the time that you would have ever chosen. But whatever the season is, whatever the time is, it ought to be our desire. I'm going to glorify God in this season of my life. It's not the season I would have chosen. But we are going to strive to bring Him glory in this season, no matter what it entails. And whatever our season is or becomes, God is to be our pursuit. Many people make a huge mistake. Again, they get focused on the all this or the these things, and their pursuit becomes to solve or to fix the all things. You pursue God. Just pursue God. Whatever the season, no matter how difficult it is, pursue the Lord. Pursue God's will. Whether it be a set of what you consider is just the perfect circumstance, or whether you can, or you're in a time as Job was, just a terrible situation. Pursue God's will. Lord, here I am in this season. It's not what I would have chosen, but God's in control. It's where I am. What do you want me to do? That ought to always be our pursuit. In whatever season we're in, God provides us with opportunities to be faithful to God. He always does. And we ought to avail ourselves of those opportunities. Whatever the season is, we're to live relational to God. We're to live close to God. We're to be in communication with God. We're to trust Him. We're to lean upon Him. We're to draw from Him. If we do those things, we'll find ourselves enjoying Him. No matter what the season, we'll find ourselves enjoying God. So, in all this, no matter what that entails, or how long it lasts, our thoughts, our emotions, our decisions, our choices, our priorities, our pursuits are to be God-centered. Not all this centered, but God-centered. But what we read here, and we'll close, in all this, and we read it two times, not in the exact order, but the same statement is made, in all this, Job sinned not. In all this, Job sinned not. That ought to be whatever the all this is in our life. That ought to be our sincere desire of the heart, that I do not sin. Whatever season comes into our life, whether it be an enjoyable season or an unenjoyable season, our prayer ought to be, Lord, help me to have dominion over the flesh. Lord, I don't want to sin in this season. No, whatever the season is, it does not give you an excuse to sin. It doesn't justify you or me or anyone else in sinning. Well, you know, I was going through... It doesn't matter. That has nothing to do. In all this, Job sinned not. We're going to have some unpleasant seasons, but it ought to be the desire of our heart that we do not sin during that time. You're going to have what you consider pleasant seasons. And the truth is, you're probably more in danger of sinning then than you are in the unpleasant seasons. But whatever the season, this ought to be our desire, that we do not sin. In all this, we are to proclaim God and His truth. It's God who works all things together. It's God who puts us through seasons and times. And in it all, we are to proclaim God. We are to point to God. God puts us in seasons that takes us to different places, puts us among people that we would not normally be among. We might be very ill tomorrow, and we have to go to the hospital. You have to continually go back, or perhaps stay there. Well, you're around people that you're normally not around. God's put you there, and we're to proclaim God. We're to testify of God, and that ought to always be our desire. Whatever season God puts us through, proclaim God throughout that season. Point others to God throughout the season. Give God the glory. Praise God in that season. Worship God in that season. So in all this, Job. And as life happens, we need to put our own names after that phrase, in all this. In all this, Dan. Put our own names after that phrase, in all this. What did we do? For Job, it could be declared at this point in the book, in all this, Job sinned not. Again, we're all going to have a lot of all this. Put your name at the end of that phrase. As it's happening, after it's happening, that's a good way to examine ourselves. What did I do? How did I react? What was my initial reaction to that season and that time? So God help us. Whatever the all this is in our lives, that we will do what's right. All this There is some all this that we have to go through by ourselves. No one else goes through it with us. It's the way God ordained it. You just, it can be a mental thing, a thought, whatever, but you have to go through it. And there's a lot of all this that we go through together. But whether we go through it all by ourselves, God is there, of course, or whether we go through it together, it really doesn't change. It doesn't change what we're to be and what we're to do. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse of song.